Well, God bless you. We're going to go to John 18 to start with. This is entitled, The Truth. It's interesting. Webster, John 18, we'll be spending a lot of time in the Gospel of John. Webster, one of his definitions, defines truth as the actual existence of correctness.
I thought, that's pretty good.
The actual existence of correctness. Not politically speaking here. We're talking the real truth. The actual existence of correctness. And in John 18, 33, we're going to open with a conversation. There happened to be a Roman procurator who happens to be assigned to Jerusalem. And he's found himself in the middle of a mess. So in John 19... 1833. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again, and he said, bring me Jesus. And said unto Jesus, are you the king of the Jews? And Jesus said, you figure that one out yourself? Sayest thou this thing of yourself, or did somebody else tell you about me? Did you come out and listen to me teach? How do you know about this? Did you, see me on YouTube? And Pilate said, dude, am I a Jew? Come on, I'm a Roman government official. But it's your own nation that doesn't care much for you. It's your own chief priests that have delivered you unto me. By the way, what have you done that these guys are all so mad at you? And Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. But if it was, if my kingdom was of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews, but now is my kingdom not from hence. Peter therefore said unto him, oh, you're a king then. I'm trying to figure out. Jesus said, well, thou says that I'm a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. And everyone that is of the truth hears my voice. And Pilate said unto him, what is truth? The better question here probably should have been, who is truth? He's got truth standing in front of him. Look at John 14. Just in case you think I'm making this up. John 14, 6. Jesus describing himself in John 14, 6. There was a group of intelligent people, for lack of a better word, worldly intelligent people, who were called academians, and they had been trying to find out what the truth was. And because Pilate asked this particular question, many people believed that he was a part of that organization. They were kind of like Freemasons, the academians of the day and time. What is truth? Well, 14:6 tells us, in case you're wondering, Jesus said unto him, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. Nobody comes unto the Father but through me, but by acknowledging me, but by realizing who I am and what I've accomplished, because I'm the truth. Not one of many truths, I am the truth. And here's Pilate searching his entire life for the truth, and he's got the truth right in front of him. How many times in life have we missed opportunities because of not recognizing the truth being there? I am the way. I am the truth. How many people would give everything to know? Pilate really would have. He wanted to know what the truth was. But that's a Jew. I'm in Palestine. I got this lousy assignment. I want to finish it up so I can get a better assignment. Maybe, I'll get assigned to Hawaii or something, instead of Jerusalem. The truth is staring at us in the face through this book. Look at 1 Timothy. We're coming back to John. But 1 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 4. Because we'll see God's will here about the truth. 1 Timothy 2, 4. God is the who here. He wants everyone to be saved. God doesn't want anybody to go to hell. He wants everybody to be saved. He's made it available through what his Son accomplished. You just have to believe regarding the Son. Who will have all men to be saved? But it doesn't stop there. The second half of God's will is that he wants everybody then, once they're saved, to come unto the knowledge of the truth. They just don't want to have the previews of the coming attractions. They want them to see the whole movie, to see the whole thing about life, about what Christ really sacrificed for. A knowledge, and this is epigenosis, which is a knowledge that will change your life and change your life for the good. Knowing the truth, knowing who the truth is and knowing about the truth. Go back to John 8. So, it's God's will to know the truth. Pilate missed a great opportunity. The truth is right in front of him. And in John 8, we answer the question of what does it take then to know the truth? John 8, 31. And we read in John 8, 31, then said Jesus to the Jews that are believing on him, not to the Jews who turned him in later on, but he said to the Jews who believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and the end result of being a disciple, of continuing in my word, then will be you shall know the actual existence of correctness. You shall know the truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth then shall make you free. The Aramaic translates this verse 36 as, if the Son should free you, you will truly be free men. If the Son shall free you, you truly will be a free man. I just like that translation. I thought that was pretty interesting because people talk about wanting freedom all the time. And then they get married. No, wait a minute. Just kidding. But here it is. The Son, therefore, is going to make you free. And if the Son is freeing you, you know, yesterday we had a party, a freedom party. Somebody got out of jail. She'd been a guard and she retired. So we had to get out of jail party for her because she retired out of the jail. So Anna Ciordi is now a free person. She's out of jail. Doesn't have to go back there again and deal with the prisoners. So she's free. She doesn't have to ever go back there again. Christ has given us that kind of freedom. We're free to no longer fall under the law, to no longer serve under man, to be able to walk in love because we know the truth. We know Jesus Christ, who is the truth. Back in John 8, we're still in John 8, 36 then says, John 8, 36, if the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. You have what Pilate wanted. You have what people all over the world are questing for, true freedom. And even though the Apostle Paul was in prison at that time, he was free. Because freedom isn't necessarily, there's a lot of people who are free, so to speak, but they're in so much mental bondage like Pilate was that they just couldn't live life to its fullness, to its understanding, because they had no accurate knowledge of the truth. They weren't familiar with Christ. They weren't familiar with the freedom of abiding in him. Look at John 17. John 17, if the Son should free you, you will truly be free men. John 17, 17, again, another familiar scripture. Jesus, you know it's important, it's in red. Jesus in 17, 17 says, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. And sanctify is the set apart. We have been set apart by this truth because the truth is in the Word of God, the words that Christ spoke, recorded in here. So why is this word truth? Well, let's look at the whole context. John 17, let's pick it up in verse 1. 17:1, these words spake Jesus. He lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. And thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee. Eternal life, starting with knowing you, the only true God. There's a lot of gods out there that are masquerading as the true God. There's only one God, and we are to serve him. And Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, I'm going to retire. I've finished the work that you gave me to do. But, O Father, glorify thou me with thy own self, with thy glory, which I have with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which you gave me out of the world. You chose men out of the world that I could teach, who in turn will teach others. And I have manifested thy name to them. And thou, let me start beginning of 6 again. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them to me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which you gave me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that they did that you sent me. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to pray for them, because I'm leaving and they're staying behind. So I'm going to pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are mine. Now, the Greek word for world here is cosmos, and it was God setting up the orderly universe, the orderly God, the order of everything. And then when it came to man, man messed it up in the fall, and now they serve under the God of this world. So he's going to differentiate between the world and those who believe the truth belonging to him. Two sections here of different people. So I'm going to pray for those who've listened to what I've said based upon what you told me to say. But I'm not going to pray for the world, but for them which you gave me. For they're you. They are yours. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I'm glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these that are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father, keep them, guard them through thy own name, those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost except that act. No, except but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And I always wonder if the night when God, when Jesus was up all night learning about the 12, who they were going to be, who were going to be his apostles, if God told them then that Judas was going to betray him. Oh, by the way, one of these guys has to betray you. You want to guess which one? No, I'll tell you. Don't know if God, doesn't say if he told them back then, but he knew one would betray him. And then he had to walk in love towards that person the whole time. So, verse 13, and now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, with the purpose that they might have my joy fulfilled in them. We can have joy fulfilled in us today because of his accomplishments. I have given them your word, but the world hates them because they're not of the world, just like I wasn't of the world. That's why it hated me. I pray not that thou should take them out of the world, but that thou should keep them or guard them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. So sanctify them, set them apart in the world through the truth, because thy word is truth. We are not of the world. The world hates Christ. The world hates the true God. It hates the truth. And wouldn't it be great that I pray not that thou should take them out of the world, that as soon as we learned about Jesus Christ, we're taken out of the world? All of a sudden, hey, I believe about Christ. Poof, you're gone. Wouldn't that be great? But that's not how it works. So we're here to teach others about Christ, which is a good thing. And how do we do that? We're by being set apart through the truth, because God's word is truth. And thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. For their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. And neither pray I for them alone, but I'm praying also for the future, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. They taught us, who taught us, it got written down, and then somebody taught us today. So he's praying for us back then, 2,000 years ago, that we understand we're not of this world. We don't live or belong to this world, and the world doesn't care much about us. So don't identify with the world. Look at John 8 here. This will help clarify it. John 8:42. Jesus Christ gets confronted by some of the great people of the world in John 8:42. And Jesus said unto them, if God were your Father, you would love me. I like how he just kind of beats around the bush with certain things. If God were your Father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but God sent me. Why don't you understand what I'm trying to tell you? Why? Because you cannot hear my word. Because you are of your father, and your father's the devil. And the lust of your father, that's who you're going to do, and that's who you're going to follow. By the way, he was a murderer from the beginning, and he abode not in the truth, because there's no truth in him. A lot of false stuff that looks good. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar, and he's the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not? Which of you convinces me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God hears God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because you are not of God. And that's why he doesn't pray for the world. He can, you know, it's available, though, for those who haven't declared gods to choose the true God and to then enjoy the benefits. Look at John 14. Didn't realize there's so much truth in John. John 14:16. John 14:16. I'm going to pray the Father when I leave, and you know what I'm going to ask him for? That he will give you another comforter. We need another comforter, and that comforter may abide with you forever. Let's describe that comforter in the next verse. It's called the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive because it sees him not, neither knows him not, but you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you, and I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I will come to you. And it, basically, he has. God in Christ in you through the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the gift that's born within you at the time of believing on Jesus Christ. Verse 23, we read, 23 says, Jesus answered and said, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him. And we will come into him, unto him and make our abode with him. He that loves me not keeps not my sayings, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Spirit of Truth, earlier, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, it's going to teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. So, because of that, peace. Peace. We can have peace through the truth. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. But not like the peace the world tries to give, which is a false peace, give I unto you. Let not your heart then be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And in this context, he also talks about giving prayers, giving them to God, you know, and then expecting God to answer them, to give the results based upon the truths that are in this word. Look at 16, chapter John 16, 13. Got to pick up another verse. John 16, 13, it's actually in the Greek, it's in the neuter tense. So John 16, 13, howbeit when it, it's not masculine tense, howbeit when it, the Spirit of Truth is come, that Christ said what was going to come, when that Spirit of Truth, when the Holy Spirit has come, it's going to guide you into all truth, which is really the seven church epistles. It'll be laid out there and then help you to understand them. For it shall not speak of itself, but whatsoever it shall hear, that shall it speak, and it will show you things to come. And there's a lot of great things with it. So, it's going to lead us into the all truth, help us to understand what's, go to John 4, which is ours in our day and time and hour, in our administration, based upon the accomplishments of Jesus Christ. And John 4:23, again, Jesus Christ is foretelling something that's going to be coming in the future. In John 4:23, But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers, those who have the truth, those who go, who abide in the truth, those who understand the truth, those who answer God's calling of an acknowledgement of the truth, when the true worshipers are going to worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him that way. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And we know from the church epistles, from the all truth, that that's dealing with speaking in tongues, which is perfect prayer. Speaking in tongues is how you worship God perfectly, in spirit and in truth, or truthfully by the Spirit. So we go to Acts 1. We're going to leave the Gospel of John now. We've worn out our truths there. But Acts 1:4 talks about this, of them receiving the gift of Holy Spirit, them receiving the Comforter. Acts 1:4, and being assembled together with them, this is in his new resurrected body, some of the last things he's telling them, he commanded them, don't leave Jerusalem. Wait in Jerusalem for the promise of the Father, which you have heard of me, because John truly baptized with water, but you're going to be baptized with something far greater, with the Comforter, with the gift of Holy Spirit. Not many days hence. He didn't tell them how long. Just hang around. Pay next month's rent. Stay there in Jerusalem until you get the promise of the Father, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Verse 8 says, but you're going to receive power when that Holy Spirit has come upon you. You'll get a powerful Holy Spirit. That's what the Comforter is going to bring. That's what the truth is when it comes upon you, and you're going to do something with that Holy Spirit. You're going to be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of Colorado, or even Central Ohio. That works too. That's right. So that's what's available. Go to 2 Thessalonians. Because let's practically look at a couple of things of having this Spirit of truth. 2 Thessalonians. It's available now. Christ accomplished his work. And he said, you guys, you apostles are really close to me. You're going to carry on. And it's going to carry on. It's going to carry on to our day and time and hour. And it's our job to continue to practically utilize the Spirit of truth, to carry on with it today. And not walk around with the great academias of today going, what's truth? We know what truth is, because we could open the book and understand it. We're not of the world. 2 Thessalonians 2:10 we read, in 2 Thessalonians 2:10, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. Well, I don't want to be in that group. Because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. Those who didn't turn on to the truth, who didn't receive and understand and realize that Christ is the truth, he is the way, he is the life, they didn't get saved, they end up being very deceitful and very unrighteous. And then they run for office. No, no, it's not true. Just out there generally. Verse 11, for this cause, for those who didn't accept the love of the truth, for this cause God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. Wow, which lie do you want to start with? Evolution? That was a good, being an old science teacher, that was a good one that you had to overcome. And many other things like that that are out there. Many lies. That they all might be damned who believed not the truth, and they have pleasure in their unrighteousness. That's, you know, Jesus talked about the world. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. We have been chosen to listen and to understand and do the best we can with what we know from the Word of God. So it would behoove us to keep learning more about the Word of God. In fact, 2 Timothy tells us that. Let's go there. 2 Timothy 2:15, again, another familiar scripture. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study, I know that's a bad word for many people, study to show yourself approved unto God as a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing this word of truth that we're holding in our hands. So, we are to study the word, and don't be ashamed of the fact that you're not of the world, and that you're a workman, and you're endeavoring to rightly divide it, speak what it says. So to do that, you have to do verse 16. Shun profane and vain babblings. That's the world. That's how God addresses it and explains it. It's profane and vain babblings. Yeah, just more vain babblings. No, thank you. I don't have time for vain babblings. Because you know what you're going to do? They're going to increase unto more ungodliness. We want to increase toward godliness. We don't want to increase to more ungodliness. There's way too much ungodliness out there. We want to head towards godliness. Godliness is not religion. Religion is the outward characteristics, making ourselves look good, standing at the right time, saying the right word, smiling at the right time, checking our hands and whatever. Oh, that's no hands. That's sitting. Okay. Going through the motions. Godliness is the Greek word eusebia. It's a true, vital, spiritual relationship with God. That's what God's after. He wants your heart. He wants the truth in that heart, and he wants to help you as you endeavor to live your life for him. Living a godly life, a true, vital, spiritual life with God. What are your vital signs? Well, they should be good. They should be vital. You know, they should be true, based upon the truth. Or are you into vain babbling? No, thank you. I don't have time for vain babblings. All right. Because let's keep reading. We're moving from vain babblings to other fun things. All right. We don't want anything that's going to increase ungodliness. And here's an example. That word, that ungodliness word, that vain babblings, that profane stuff, it's going to eat like gangrene. Like gangrene. Right? And Terrence, you're familiar with that. It just ate your leg away. It just keeps eating it at you. Just, you know, that's not what we want. And that's what these two guys were trying to teach. Verse 18, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and people believed them, and it overthrew the faith of them. Nevertheless, the foundation of God stands sure. Having this seal, the Lord knows them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ don't spend time with iniquity. Look at verse 24. After some more exhortations, we go down to 24. Because practical application of the truth, the servant of the Lord shouldn't strive. Instead, the servant of the Lord should be gentle unto all. Apt to teach. Probably teach trigonometry, I'm guessing. No, teach the word, the greatness of the love of God. Oh, I don't. Why did he have to add this? Patient. Oh, man. Patient. In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. I saw a literal of this. In meekness, patient, apt to teach, instructing those who are screwing themselves up, who are their own worst enemy. You have come across people like that. Why don't you just do what the word says? Oh, okay. That keeps you out of that. And so, in meekness, we're to help those who are opposing themselves, who are their own worst enemies. Then, God peradventure can give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. God can take them back to the truth of the word because they realize they're going in the wrong direction. You know, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil who are taken captive by him at his will. Those who have fallen into the abyss of the actions of the devil and getting muddled in their minds can get past all of that. And they can be recovered from the acknowledging of the truth, from people who are loving and kind and patient to teach them, to take them back to the word, and the people going, oh yeah, clarity, yay, truth, yay, patience. I mean, that's what yay, but okay, I can do that. But you get pulled out of the world and all the things of the world, and you reset your priorities properly. Look at chapter 3:7. You may have met people like this, 2 Timothy 3:7, ever learning and never coming to the knowledge of the truth. There just seems to be in college all the time. I got another master's degree or something. Ever learning, ever talking, but they're never coming to the knowledge of the truth because they never opened the book. They never get to Christ. Ever learning, though. They can tell you all kinds of things, but the real knowledge of the truth comes from learning the scriptures. But there are people who fit in that category. Look at chapter 4, verse 1. Am I in 2 Timothy? Yes. 4:1. I charge thee therefore before God, the Lord Jesus Christ, who's going to judge the quick and the dead. That means the slow people don't get judged. No, that's King James English for living, the living and the dead. All right, he's going to judge the living and the dead. At his appearing and his kingdom. So, what should we do? How about preach the word? Be instant. Be stand ready, is that what that word means? Well, we just found out that there's people who are falling into traps, and we're to help them get out of those traps that the adversary has for them. So we're to stand ready in season, out of season. I don't care if it's golf season, hunting season, fishing season, ski season. In season, out of season, you're ready. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering. There's that patience again. And doctrine. You got to know the truth of the word that really helps somebody. Because you know what's going to happen? For the time is going to come when they're not going to endure sound doctrine. Of course, this happens like every day over the last 2,000 years. And it's still true today. There are those not enduring sound doctrine. But instead, after their own cravings, their own lust, after what I can do, me too, you know, after their own lusts, after their own cravings, shall they heap to themselves teachers who are giving them itchy ears. Ooh, gossip. Ooh, stuff that's not godly. Doesn't matter. I don't care. I want, you know, people get involved in wanting to hear that kind of stuff instead of the truth of the God's word. And we are encouraged in verse 4 to turn away our ears. These people, excuse me, those who have heaping to themselves teachers, having those itching ears, they shall turn away their ears from the truth and be turned unto Aesop's fables. And many other fables that the world has to offer. We go to James 5. Fables instead of the truth. And boy, a lot of people like fables. Fables. Myths. Making things up. This really sounds good. Is it accurate with the word of God? Well, that doesn't matter. Yeah, it matters. It matters a lot. So, James 5:19. Brothers, if any of you do err, that's the word for wander, if any of you wander from the truth, and one convert you, now the word convert here just means turn you around. You're going in that direction, and it's like you're going in the wrong direction. Turn around and come back. If anybody helps convert me, this isn't the conversion from death to life, it's the conversion in the walk, turning them around. If anybody's wandering away from the truth that once knew the truth, you turn them around, let them know that he which converts the sinner, let him that turn the sinner around from the error of his way, shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. You sinners, we're going to get those sins out of you. We're going to hide you. We're going to move you around, going the other way. We're going to walk better. And we close in 1 John 4. Because we saw God wants us to know the truth. And so many people think they know the truth, they can't find the truth. And God forbid that the truth is in here. 1 John 4:4. You are of God, little children. And you have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. God in Christ in you, the comforter, the gift of Holy Spirit is greater in you than the spirit of the world that leads people away from the true God. Those people are of the world. Therefore, they speak about the world, and the world listens to them. We are of God. He that knows God hears us. He that is not of God hears not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. And there's a lot of spirit of error out there, but we have the spirit of truth. We have the all truth that Jesus Christ said was going to be available. We have been given the Comforter. We've been given the Spirit of Truth. We don't want to live in the spirit of error. We want to move away from that and back into the Spirit of Truth and the greatness of what God in Christ accomplished for us today. Because when Christ comes back, you will be rewarded handsomely for that. So let's convert others. Let's bring them back to God and the things of God and the ways of God. and enjoy our life and not enjoy the world, because the world has an unhappy ending if you read the end of the book. But those who love God, those who have listened to God, great and wonderful things are coming. So, Father, thank you for your love, your goodness, your grace, your mercy, for sending us musicians that can sing truthfully and we can enjoy ourselves in this day and time and hour, and that we don't have to be like Pilate wondering about the truth, but we know who is truth and we can follow the great teachings that Christ gave us via his accomplishments of what's all available for us today. And we're thankful for this and for being chosen to be part of your kingdom in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.